Good morning, everyone. I'll start us with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you praising your name. Lord, we are so excited to be in your service, to have the opportunity to know you. Lord, I know so many people without hope, and Lord, I know that life isn't easy, but I have you to lean on. Through all the highs and lows. And Lord, I pray that as we begin this series of classes, Lord, I just ask that you might help us all to put our guards down, to find joy, to find peace, to help recharge us for the next week. And more importantly, Lord, that we might find our inner passions, to turn our talents into service. And more importantly, Lord, that we'll fall more in love with you and that light will shine to others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, I know I'm a bit loud in the morning, but I am unfortunately a morning person, whether I was, that has been a grown talent or not. But to say the least, we are starting a series. And a lot of people are in Kirtland, so that's why it's a little empty today, but I'm still going to kind of go over our goals and plans, and I'm pretty excited about this endeavor. Again, me and Muriel have kind of started meeting with a few others, kind of what we call the community impact kind of group, and I want to real quickly read kind of our goal. The goal of the Community Impact Group is to inspire, empower, and educate individuals for impacting their community, as well as connecting with local organizations aligned with their callings. We will not try to convince people, but instead we will pursue strategies for activating the seeds God has already planted inside of them. What does that mean? Simply, we're not here to sell anything. We just know that everyone has their own unique set of talents. And many of us come to church and we do feel that just showing up on Sunday, the occasional event, is just not enough. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to overcome that kind of guilt or shame or even just simple desire to do more. And we kind of want to help people overcome that, because I certainly want church to be more than just a Sunday. I want it more to be than just the occasional event. And for us to do that, we kind of have to find our joys and passion. I know if I've learned one thing, that no matter how much you twist people's arm or guilt them, the thing that really motivates people is joy. People keep coming back when you find joy. And so our goal is to motivate, to kind of help find what brings you joy, preferably in the service of our God, and then make it easier for you to pursue that joy. And preferably in the service of our God. So I want to read some verses real quick. And then once I'm done, I will hand out some sheets, and then I'll let Muriel kind of explain more about some of her endeavors, our endeavors, and we'll go from there. So, please understand the following. I'm going to hand out this sheet, which has some questions. We're not going to actually have you turn in these questions yet, but it's anonymous, and it'll primarily be for next week. But please understand the following questions are not meant to cause shame, guilt, or imply laziness. We just feel deep down inside there's more to church than the meeting on Sunday. We feel there is more to our religion than listening to people preach and participating in the occasional event. Naturally, our best hope is to look to Christ, who had a simple and clear call to serve and to give to those around us, even our enemies. Oof. Matthew 22:35-38. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is just like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the vices of the world. Matthew 5:41-44. I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have it. And if he sue thee again, let him have thy cloak also. And whoever shall compel you to go a mile, just best friends, right? No, it's probably the people we don't want to give that extra mile. Go with him a mile. And whosoever shall compel thee to go with him twain, I have no idea how far twain is, but I'm assuming it's farther than a mile, thou shalt go with him twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Messiah 1:49. Behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. Again, we will not take these at the end of this class, but these are something to read over the next week, and we'll hit this extra hard next week. Otherwise, I'll turn to Muriel as I hand these out.
Well, good morning. Since we are so light today with so many people being in Kirtland, Joe and I are going to be presenting for the next couple of weeks, and then we're going to go back to Danny Height for a couple of weeks. And what happens after that, I'm not, I know Joe has got an anniversary trip planned in October, and so we'll move on from there. So I'm going to, what I had originally wanted to do, I'm going to hold off till next week. But one thing I would like to do, we heard, how many of you were here last Sunday to hear Pastor Brian Carline? Y'all were good. I'd like some feedback from that. I know that I got the impression that they were very well received, and then I'm going to connect some dots. I know that Havila Cartwright, Brooders, caught me after the potluck and asked me how I met Brian. So I'll explain a little bit about that and connect some dots there. But I'd just like a little some comments from the audience about what you thought of what he had to say, and so on. So any, yes, Sarah?
I really appreciated what he said. I think everything he said was pertinent and valid to us, and also I kind of liked that he was a little bit different just because it got us out of our comfort zone, and I definitely paid attention the whole time. So I really liked it. I thought it was refreshing. And so.
Great. Anybody else have...
There's a few things I might share about that last week, and some of them might not be what people are expecting, but you could tell within the first few minutes of our brother speaking that there was a significant difference between him and the vast majority of our priesthood, and it was that he's been trained in public speaking, and most of our priesthood haven't. And we really ought to change that. The way the restoration priesthood model is supposed to work is that you get ordained, and then you work towards being able to fulfill that calling, including through education and training, where in other churches, you get the education and training first, and then you're ordained. But because, we sort of... we sort of absorb by osmosis the mindset of other churches, and we just kind of tend to just ordain our young men, and we don't really have the programs of training that will will get them where they need to be great ministers. So I am really glad that we've started having priesthood training here at Living Hope, and I hope we can definitely include instruction in public speaking in that, because that's very important if you, we want to be able to reach people. Another point is he identified what is the central moral problem that is specific to our age. And it isn't just sin, because we've always had sin. Sin's always been in the world. The unique moral problem of our age is the sexual revolution, which became popularized in the 1960s and changed our attitudes about sex, marriage, dating, everything in that area. Even if we don't go for the full-blown gay, trans, woke ideology, we've accepted divorce as normal. And you know, I'm not going to say that everybody should always have stayed together, because, you know, if there's a genuine abuse going on, then I don't, you know, you have to, you might have to have a separation. But we've accepted so much divorce that it's become normalized for most, I mean, for just huge numbers of people to be divorced, and that has undermined the marriage even as a concept, to the point where a lot of millennials just aren't even getting married anymore because they want to have less hypocrisy in their life. And so, you know, I'm not saying we need to, you know, condemn everybody who's divorced, but we do need to put a stop to people in the restoration getting up front and saying, God told me to get divorced. That is fighting on the wrong side of the conflict, the moral conflict of our age, which is over the sexual revolution. If you think that's what happened, maybe keep quiet about it, because you don't want to be encouraging other people to get divorced or to think of divorce as normal. Every family that falls apart is losing a battle in the war for the kingdom. And we've got to address that.
Yes, one of the things that Brian brought out that I saw clearly was that we are in a war for our children. Not just our little children, our adult children, to look like the third and fourth generation. So, Don?
Did you turn off on purpose this time?
You're good. We can hear you.
I really appreciated him talk last week. He hit some subjects that were nobody in this church would probably talk about in front of anybody. They were in your face. I mean, you're talking about sexual abuse on children and what's going through Independence rapidly, drug use. I mean, and he did it with such a joy and a spark for the Lord. He was on fire. You usually don't see that type of joy and fire unless you're looking at a new believer. And that guy was, he was up there praising and just going about for Jesus. That was inspiring. And to see that type of motivation and that type of fire in an older gentleman, that was uplifting to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah
he had a hard, he had a very hard message. And we all, everybody in this church needed to hear the message that he brought, because those are taboo subjects that we don't talk about, and they're right in front of our face, and we just act like we don't see them.
Right.
But he definitely had a fire for the Lord, and he brought a message that was very, very, very powerful. And I appreciated the way that he spoke, because it got us out of our box. It opened our ears, and he wasn't afraid of it.
Right.
He had courage, just like Daniel. He was strong in his faith. He knew what the Lord had for him, and he charged forward 110%. And I thought it was an amazing service last Sunday.
I did too. That's a great segue for me to talk a little bit about Brian and what I've seen and witnessed in his life. I met Brian in 2018. I knew about Brian in 2017. And let me backtrack just a little bit. In April of 2017, I was on my way into Hallmark, and we were I just saw all this trash along the roadside, and I grieved for the families that lived in those neighborhoods. And the Lord spoke to me, and through that experience and as I thought about the inner city and so on, and he said, I am going to do a major comprehensive redemptive work through the Black community. And the words, the scripture, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I didn't know what that meant, you know, why I was given that at that time, but I just knew that there were people and pastors and churches in the inner city that knew the problems they had and had some insight as to how to solve them, but they needed help. They needed assistance. And that I was on the Republican Committee, Jackson County Republican Committee member at that time, and I realized that if we were going to influence in a good way, that we needed to approach inner city pastors. We needed to tap into what their knowledge and understanding was of the problems that they face, and let them show us how we can help them. But the Lord did definitely speak to me and say that he was going to raise up and that there would be great ministry given by Black ministers. And so it wasn't long after that, in the summer, I was helping a Black pastor's wife, Maria Burks, helped her move one of her church members from one apartment in the mansions to another. And there I met Yvonne Carline. She had this T-shirt on, like you saw last week, Team Jesus. And I said, "What's Team Jesus? What's Team?" And she said, "Well, this is a ministry that my husband and I started 6 years ago. He prayed for 3 years to know what God would have him do." And they had a small group, and Matthew 25:35 came, "Insofar as you have done, serve the least of these, you have served me." So they started Team Jesus. They wanted Jesus to have all the credit. They put plastered Team Jesus over all their vehicles. They started out with what they had. They started feeding the homeless. And in 6 years, in that course, Yvonne said that the Lord told Brian, he says, "You're not doing enough." And they had this small group. They were going out every two, I don't know how often they were, at least every twice a month, and feeding, you know, taking hot food and cold bag lunches to the homeless. And they call them Beloveds. And I would have said, "I'm not doing enough, you know, we're doing all this." But he says, "Father, forgive me." He says, "What do you want me to do?" He and his group were totally committed to this, and he says, "I want a shower. I want a mobile shower for my Beloveds." And he didn't know the first thing about that. So he was pretty well connected. He had many partners, and he put the word out there. He says, "The Lord tells me we need a mobile shower." And a fella that they were connected with in Wichita had just purchased a flatbed trailer, and there was someone else who had a box that would fit that trailer to a T. And then they had a couple of engineers in their group who designed the shower. It's a combination unit where on one end is a shower, and another unit they can give haircuts and they can project Jesus videos for them. And now they have two mobile showers. All of their equipment is paid for. They just do, they just give all that they know how to give, and they never ask for money. They just go out and minister, and they give Jesus all the credit. And then they and people say, who are you? Just like I did. And how can I help? And people step up and they give them money, and they were just out in California with doing ministry, and a man walked up to them and said, my wife and I have talked this over, and we've decided that we're going to donate an Airstream bus, you know, that they had converted over into living quarters. You know, it took all the seats out and everything, and just gave it to them, signed it over to them while they were there. So that when I met Brian, we talked for 2 hours in July of 2018. And I told him who I was, who I was connected, what my background was. And he said, I know that you love Jesus and you love the kingdom. And any other differences we have, I figure God can take care of. And I know that I can work with you. And we have. And it was not too long until at the same time, Dennis Cato and Woody Howe got together and said, listen, we've got, that was over at a hymn sing April 6th in 2018 at Stone Church. He says, we've got to do something about our city. And they started meeting, and then in November they said, all right, we need to do something more. We need to actually get this out there and make it start happening. So they invited any church who wanted to come to a meeting, a gathering, to know what they could do to improve the quality of life in Independence. And I was there, and Team Jesus was there, and God's Love Ministries was there, the Hands and Feet of Jesus from Maywood Baptist Church was there, Stone Church was represented, the Remnant Church was represented, Ed Turner from the police department, and I don't know where he'd go, he's a restoration member, he was there. There were 22 people in that room, and we weren't there to talk, we were there to do something. And we immediately started talking about a building that where they could. And on Brian's list, now one of the neat things, I'm just really scattered here, but so bear with me. After I met Brian, I attended one of his church services. He was meeting in his garage over in kind of Susquehanna area, and. His services are unusual too, and they had a big whiteboard, and we've got one right back there, and it's twice the size of the board that he has, and on it he had all their vision and all their goals that they wanted to achieve, and these weren't goals that came out of them. These were the things that they saw God wanted them to have and wanted them to do. And one of them was a dream center, and that was a place of education and redemption for, you know, for the beloveds, and where they could get IDs, where they could get career coaching, where they could get social skills, whatever they needed to become self-sustaining. That's what that dream center was all about. And in April of 2019, after the Independence is Alive and Well initiative formed in December. Before that, Woody Howe's group, the Restoration Church of Jesus Christ, donated the school, the old Alton Elementary School that they owned, over to the initiative. And that was so they could cross that first Dream Center off their list. And Woody calls up one of the leadership team, Billy Tharp, and said, we're not going to sell you the building. He said, we're going to give it to you. Billy was expecting to pay something, you know, pay the church something. But that church decided to donate the building free and clear to the initiative. So we have this building now that we can operate out of. And this is all God, you know, that is doing this. And so what I could see for our church, for Living Hope, now I've been a member here since 2009. I left another church I was a little bit discouraged where we had been going, and I determined when I came here that never again would I leave under adverse opinion and conditions. That leaving a church is not a good reason to leave. That we have problems, we face them, we work them out. And taking your ball and going someplace else was not an option. And since 2009, that's what been 12 years ago or so, I have seen our group grow. I have had altercations with individuals and with the whole group at times. I have to admit that there have been times I've gotten discouraged and said, Lord, where do I belong? I don't feel like I fit. And so, but I still love the people, and I remember the things, the encouragement that I got from people like Bill Barrett and different ones that said, that would say, we are so much better. We can't just go off and leave and leave people behind. We're so much better if we can work it out, that if we have our struggles, we have our disagreements, but we are so much better when we stick together. And so anyway, in 2012, I was sitting in church and in a prayer meeting, and Jesus appears to me. Now, I didn't see him physically, but I saw him, I saw his spirit, and we were circled up in a circle for prayer meeting, and we had just sung a hymn, Work for the Night is Coming, and he comes up to my left knee, and he's got this huge grin on his face, like he can't wait to tell me something exciting that he wants to do. And he says, buckle your seatbelt, girl. We're going on a ride. And I said, he saw the questioning look on my face. And he says, don't worry. He says, you just lean the way I lean, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to do things, you're going to do things, and I'm going to do things that are going to be absolutely jaw-dropping. And I said, oh, well, okay. and he said, you're going to do things that, I got to stand behind, my knees are kind of weak. He said, there are things that you're going to see and you're going to do that are going to be so different than you expect. The way you think of things and how, and the scriptures and the way you think that the kingdom is going to come is going to be so different than you expect. So expect the unexpected. And so that was in 2012, and then here slowly, you know, in 2017, I get this word about God doing a major work with the black community, and I meet some of them. I meet Brian Carline, I meet Yvonne, and I meet others that prove that to be true. And there's also this question about perfection. We have this idea. I had this idea growing up. That in order to have the kingdom, and there is that scripture there, and I can't quote to you where it is, that talks about we have to be completely sinless. Isn't that right? Have you read, yeah? That we are to be sinless, that we are to be without sin, and how is that going to be when you deal with sin every single day of your life, you commit sin every single day of your life? It's because you turn yourself over to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and you repent every single day. And he knows what you're dealing with. He knows that you are not perfect, but he is in the process. As you work with him, then he makes you, he helps you to, and it is that work of building the kingdom that perfects you. He doesn't expect perfection when you start out. And as I've found out in the last 4 years, that God is using every single person on this earth who aligns himself with you know, with him and believes. He takes them just as they are. He has skills and abilities within the beloved, creative things within the beloved that we do not know even anything about that he will use. And how do we tap into that? How do we unite? And so I came to the conclusion just this last year, and it was between God, and it was just a realization, a culmination of being with Dennis Cato and Ryan Carline and all of them, that I realized that we have, that God, and we know what God's job is, don't we? That is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. And what's our job? What's our job? Huh? To obey. Yeah. And he said it, Joe brought it out today. In Mark, the answer to that question that man asked, what's the great commandment? To love God and to love your neighbor. And I think it's in Mark. I like that story the most because Jesus points to the man and says, you are not far from the kingdom. And when I read that version, that verse of that particular scripture, I realized that that's our job. It's plain and simple. We love God, we love Jesus, and we love our neighbors, period. And with that, we are not far from the kingdom. When we love our neighbor, we have our kingdom. We live it out in our individual daily lives, willingly, sacrificially, totally committed, the way I see Brian Carline work. And I have to tell you, I have never seen the commitment and the dedication, especially from myself, as I see in that man and that group right there. And I am ashamed. Yeah, Sarah?
Brother Andrew King from Outreach shared something with me that I thought was just amazing. He said he was just thinking about our church in comparison to others. And when it talks in the scriptures about like power and authority, I don't know if I've shared this here before. Now I'm getting deja vu. Anyway, he said that a lot of groups, and I feel like Brian and his group is in this category of having the power because they're following what they know. They're following it 100%.
Yes.
And while we believe our church has authority, since we haven't been doing what God's called us to do, we don't have the power and the authority. And so we were just discussing that when there is a group of people that comes together and has the power and the authority working together,
yes,
the way that it,
yes,
should, then that's going to bring what God wants.
Yes.
And so,
yes,
I just thought that was really,
yes,
cool and true. And so you can see the power,
yes,
working with them,
yes,
because they're following what God's called them to.
Right. And that's where we find ourselves now. I believe that we are on the verge of seeing things of a magnificent, marvelous, multiplied nature, you know, as God, as we individually hook up and as we connect with the Holy Spirit and we ask the Lord, what do you want me to do in my community? And this is, you know, I have a word that I can bring, but it is not one to tell you what to do. General George Patton is quoted as saying, he says, I do not tell my soldiers how to do their job or what to do. I lay out what we need to accomplish, and then I let them figure out, because they can do it a whole lot better than I could, and I'm always amazed at what they end up doing that is far superior to what I could do. So that's what I see us at. You know, I see a whole church, 120 people on a Sunday, on a sacrament Sunday, with all these skills, all these abilities, all these things. I know that there's at least one thing That is, and that's what we want to do with these classes, is to, the next couple of weeks or so, is to identify the one thing that is just churning in your gut that you want to see done in this city. You know, we see, and because that's the, because it's the Holy Spirit that's put that there in you. And what is that one thing? Another thing is, what are you good at? God put you, gave you passions and abilities and skills, and He's trained you up, you know, and throughout your whole life. You can look back and see how He's guided you every step of the way. I always had a desire to do art. You know, I was a regular kid, but I made mud pies and rode my bicycle and did all the normal things, but I also had this feeling that I wanted to do art. And He gave me the ability. He put me in a city that had the largest art staff in the world at Hallmark Cards. He gave me a job there. I did art for 31 years. He trained me up, practiced me up, and I love, that is my passion, is doing art. That's what I am good at. And I can't take credit for it, because he opened all the doors, you know, and I just stepped into it. So much of what we are about to do is just showing up in your neighborhood, walking your neighborhood, looking and seeing the needs that are there, and just being there, and let God bring the people into your lives that, you know, that who are your neighbors. And be genuine and sincere about it, that you are there for them and they're there for you. But in building this kingdom, we have to take ownership of it. That's what God, and the biggest thing that He wants to give us is, by stepping into that work, is the joy, is the absolute phenomenal joy. And I tell you, we will be coming in here in prayer meeting and our sessions with such stories like our ancestors in the reorganization and the early days of the church would, those pale in comparison to what we are about to do, both individually and collectively. We are so much better together than we are alone. And so Living Hope has this opportunity to step into our own individual neighborhoods and do something. Do whatever God calls you to do. And it's going to be a lot of little, tiny, small kindnesses, observations, calls on the phone, you know, taking a baked good, a loaf of sourdough bread to a new neighbor or something, or knowing about a family that had a recent death and taking, we've got a fellow on our block right now that lost his wife. Are you familiar with the Keeping Room? It's an antique store up on the square. It's on the east side of the square, northeast end of the square, just off the square. Well, Bill Hart is my neighbor. And 3 weeks ago, his wife just didn't wake up one morning. I guess maybe it was more than a month ago now. And what a shock. And so what do you do for a man like that? You know, that one day he has a wife and the next day he doesn't. I mean, that's kind of scary, isn't it, to know what to do. And so anyway, I'm thinking about that and wondering what we as neighbors can do for, you know, for him. But we have widows in our neighborhoods. We have young families in our neighborhoods. And just being out there among our neighbors is going to be very, very critical. And so in the next few weeks, we'll be giving you some things that will help you with your walk in your neighborhood. I will backtrack a little bit when I go back to how I met Brian. I was part of a prayer group, a daily prayer group on the temple lot, and we started in 2018. We started seeing people come every day, and they didn't want just a meal. These homeless beloveds were afraid for their lives on the streets of Independence at night, and all we had to offer them was prayer. They didn't. They wanted out, and they didn't know how to get out. And all I had as a member of the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ, who of Latter-day Saints, who believes in the kingdom, I had nothing that I could give them in the way of who to go to help. No organization, no person, no nothing. I couldn't do anything for them either. And I did pray for them. And so it was just unconscionable. I could not live with myself. So that's when I reached out to Brian Carline, and I started association with him, and trying to find ways that we could give redemptive, comprehensive help to them. Now, when I meet someone on the street, I can point them to the Unity Center, and I do. And there's so much more that we can do as far as providing them with printed material, organizations, and then taking them by the hand and taking them to the Unity Center, getting clothes for them. I know someone who can give them establish an ID for themselves that we didn't have 4 years ago. And how good and great God is. And so that's the kind of thing. And so we are just on the verge of doing something really, really stupendous here. And as we link ourselves with the initiative, with the with Brian Carline and with other groups, and realize that we are powerful when we align ourselves with others. So let's see. We've still got a few minutes. Is there anything anyone would like to share? What have I forgotten, Joe? I apologize for the scatteredness. I just finished a neighborhood picnic yesterday, and it was very small. We had about 10 or 12 that came, and that was okay. I would like the numbers to grow, and but there's, you know, I find I'm kind of drawn in a lot of directions, and I'm hoping for, yes, Robin, would you like to say something? Oh, good, please, come on up.
I was one of the 10 or 12 people at this neighborhood picnic, and for whatever reason, I placed my chair in a certain spot, and I didn't feel necessarily that, well, maybe I should sit over there with Betty, my good friend. I thought, no, I'm going to sit right here. And after the first, that we had a little family there that offered shared some music, and the first song that they sang was "You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine." Well, my new neighbor that just moved in this summer was sitting over here, and she came over to me. She said, Robin, I had a moment. Can I share it with you? And I said, yeah. She said, my mom died a year ago today. And her birthday was yesterday. And she said, I was talking to my sister, and my sister had some moments with mom. She had a reminder. She had a message from mom. And I thought, why didn't I have one? Why don't I have a special moment? And she said, it was that song. It was that song today. And so I said, is it okay if I hug you? Yes. And so she just put herself in my arms, and we just embraced for a long, long time. And I was so grateful that she was there to receive that moment, and that she shared it with me.
Yeah. Tell them, Robin, tell them about what happened last year. Last year was our first South Main Street neighborhood block party. We had about 35 people.
And that was grand. I got to meet people that I've never met, and I've lived there since 1995, so shame on me. But I saw this young woman with a toddler on her hip and obviously very pregnant, and so I am drawn to young mamas. So I introduced myself to her, and we just kind of struck a bond in those few moments that we had together. And so as we shared, and I learned about her and learned when her baby was due, and she shared with me that her mother had a brain tumor and wasn't expected to survive that. And her prayer was that her mom would live long enough to meet the baby. So we just kept in touch via text. I would check in with her, and How can I help you? How can I support your mom and dad? Because they live next door to them. How can I support them? What do you need from me? Just prayers. Well, as it turns out, her mom died on a Monday in December, and her baby was...
What was that again?
Her mother passed away on Monday, and the baby was born on Friday.
After that?
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, you know, I just kind of felt sensitive to a new mama with a toddler and the loss of a mom and all the emotions that go along with that. So I just kind of joined hip to her and had opportunity to just walk alongside her for a bit.
Wonderful.
And she did offer me the opportunity to babysit for her boys and her niece a couple of times mm-hmm. when they needed somebody. And just checked in with her on Mother's Day because I knew that could be a really tough day. So I was walking the other morning and I saw a for sale sign in their yard and it just kind of made me sad. So I texted her and said, please tell me they got that sign in the wrong yard. But she said, well, I hope we can stay in touch because your friendship this year has meant so much to me. So was I all that awesome? No. But just somebody to be in step with her at the moments when she needed somebody.
Right. So many of the things that we can do are so easy, and they are so much fun. And aren't we supposed to be given to hospitality? I think that's so much of what we will bring joy to other people's lives, and just opening ourselves up to receive and others into our lives and make a difference. And also to know what they have that we're going to stand in need of, because that will happen also. So, yes, Sherry.
A few months ago, Connie and I went to the Unity Center, and Brian, we had a very nice tour. He spent a lot of time with us and visited and got to see their future plans upstairs for the women and mm-hmm. children. And it really touched our hearts. And we went through their giving closet, and mm-hmm. he showed us, you know, how they organize it and stuff. And then to the area where donations come in, and said one of the needs that they have was for people to come in and help them to organize those donations to put them into the giving closet
yes.
area. And that's something that we talked to the women in our women's group about, asking mm-hmm. if they would like to do that as a women's
right.
ministry, which we're in the process of trying to put something together.
Mm-hmm.
With the winter coming up, he was talking about how gloves and stocking hats and coats and warm shoes and, you know, socks, the different mm-hmm. needs that they have. And with the new season coming on, Connie and I were talking about having some kind of a container put here that people mm-hmm. can bring nice things, not, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
something that you would actually wear yourself but don't need. And to be able to take it, and I'm willing to go and take it there and help them mm-hmm. organize it. And if anybody would like to do that with me, I'd love to have people do that with me. If I remember right, he said Tuesdays they do have a couple ladies that come in mm-hmm. who could use help.
mm-hmm.
He mentioned another day of the week too, but I don't remember what it is,
yeah.
but I'll get a hold of him and find
yeah.
out.
We had Jean Robison, who turns 97 in a few days, maybe November, I'm not sure. And she was there yesterday with doing meal prep with us. And so it does, you know, it's ageless. You know, we've had young kids come in. So to wrap this session up, we're just right at time right now. Next week, so I want you all to be thinking about what I mentioned earlier, what you're good at, the skills that you have. They are all kingdom building skills that can be utilized, and then also the one thing that you would like to see changed, that just gnawing on the inside of you that you want to see addressed, and write that down. And we're going to create a whiteboard over there, and I hope that we're going to establish some goals, some objectives, some specific things, measurable things, attainable things, realistic things. We can dream big and think small, but I want to fill that board up with things that we know that we can use as goals because I think one of the things that we have lacked as a church is having specific things to accomplish and that we want to set our minds and hearts to. Not that we have to be necessarily the ones to accomplish it. You can throw something up on there on that board, and you may not be the one to do it, but somebody is going to see it and say, I can help with that. And yes.
Well, I don't want to give us an excuse, but I want to point out that we had a lot of these kinds of programs before the church broke up in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We have a long history in the reorganization in particular of establishing these kinds of things. And because it's because of our church's internal difficulties that our city and our community have turned out the way it has. If our church hadn't gone down the path it went down, things would be looking very different.
Yeah.
And I think that if we're going to fix our community, we are also going to have to fix our church. We can't function on just the individual branch level with each branch looking after just itself. We're going to need the structure that was outlined in the Doctrine and Covenants that the church is supposed to have. How we get there from here, I'm not sure, but we're going to have to do it, or we're going to have to hang it up and let these Protestants run it.
Right. I would agree with that wholeheartedly, but I think it just takes one person, one group, like Living Hope. Not that we put our, I don't want to put ourselves above anybody else, but if God gives us, and I feel like in the last 12, 13 years, God has been preparing us and growing us and changing us, and we've been repenting and we see problems, and so what he's giving us to do, we do have a clear, we do see a vision, we do see specific things that we can do, and we know that we can do them together, and so all it takes is one branch, and it'll flow from there. All he expects us to do is what he wants us to do, and other people will see. Yeah, Sarah. And then I think we'll have to close down because it's already 9:55.
I was thinking it's one of those chicken or egg things, like, will we fix the problems by serving, or do we have to, you know, like, I think if we just start doing it, then problems will be fixed.
That's right. Absolutely. You just got to just start doing it. Just show up and start doing it.
Could you just tell us, you said when you meet people, you said you point them towards the Unity Center. So I just, 2 summers ago, got to go help out over at the Veterans Small mm-hmm. Homes in Kansas City with the Walk to Talk camp.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which was pretty cool. And so finally I was like, oh, I know our community. If I meet a veteran, I say, hey,
yes.
Go there. They have
yes.
the resources to help you, right?
Right.
So could you just real quick tell us, like, when is the Unity Center, like, do they have operating hours? Are they always there?
Yes. They're.
When can we go help? What do we,
yes.
just give us overall of that before you close?
Right. The Unity Center is open between 9 and 2. They need someone who can step in to be at the desk because Mike Box has been there for over three years. And he needed to step away for a little bit. So I don't know what their situation is as far as operating hours is concerned. I'll have to find it. It was between 9 and 2, Monday through Wednesday. And then Mike was also available other times to help people take people. He would show up there and help an individual other times of the week when they needed it. I could just give him a call, and when I heard somebody who needed help, and then I would call him, and he said, I'll meet him up there in a half an hour or an hour or this afternoon. And then they would get the supplies they needed and so on. So, we're kind of running pretty thin on people and volunteers. We need more volunteers than anything, than we need money. And so, yeah.
More volunteers
huh?
than
We need more volunteers than money. We need a lot more volunteers than money. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back. Joe and I will be back next week, and I think I've got a whiteboard that we can bring, roll up here, and do some. I want you all to. This is a group project, because I receive in part and I see in part, but you also have a part too that we all need to kind of piece it together to make this effort complete. So thank you.